So episode 21.
Our podcast. That was a very monotone opening. Yeah. So episode 21.
Our podcast is legal to drink.
Nice! I like that.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons it was so monotone is we got no comments on episode 20.
I know.
There's a lull.
I'm feeling a little unloved.
I know.
I think I'm going to eat some worms.
I think that it's because everybody's busy around the holidays.
Yeah, everybody's still recovering. Crazy. January is a shitty month all
around. It is. It really is.
Still so cold. Although we did have a very uncanny streak of good weather.
We did. But we've had everything.
Yeah,
that's Michigan for you.
I know. You never know.
So let's talk a little bit about episode 2 of Two Guys. For those of you that are not subscribed via iTunes, we did another episode of Two Guys. It's about a 5-6 minute clip of a little film noir piece that we did. Probably a lot more fun to do than it is to watch.
I think so.
But
it was really fun.
I don't know. My wife enjoyed it though, so it's a lot of fun. So if you're listening to this through, say, Odeo or some other RSS podcast aggregator,
very good.
Thank you. That's 2 points for me.
Excellent.
Then jump out to our webpage, www.rockstormedia.com, and one of the blog postings down there is the second episode of Two Guys.
All over it, right off the bat. Bam! Website.
Website. Dan at rockstormedia.com.
Sterling at rockstormedia.com.
Okay. So episode 21. No comments, but I do have a small comment to make.
You do.
And I don't know why. I have an obsession with Karate Cast. And I'm not exactly sure what this is all about.
Yeah.
But first of all, I would like to a disclaimer in saying it's one of the top 3 or 4 podcasts that I listen to every time a show comes out. I listen to the whole thing all the way through.
Nice.
I like it. I like it a lot.
That means it's a good podcast.
I think it's well produced.
It's got to be good for you to be able to do that every time.
And every once in a while, he says something that just sort of freaks me out a little. It doesn't even freak me out. It irritates me.
Irked? You could be irked.
I could be irked. I will give 2 irking examples.
Okay.
This week.
All right.
Right? One was... they, on their last podcast, or it was 2 podcasts ago, anyway, they had talked about being the very first podcast to have the idea, and listen to this idea now.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
To travel around the country visiting dojos and interviewing instructors. They're the very first podcast to think of that idea.
Really? When did he mention that?
That was probably 2 weeks ago.
Oh, when did we mention that?
That was probably 2 months ago.
Right.
Yeah. So I think when you make claims like you're the very first to do anything, it's important to do your research to see if anyone else has thought of it.
Technically, though, we said travel around the area.
He
said country.
That is
so
true.
He may be the first one to say travel around the country.
So I'll give him that one.
But I get your point.
I'll give him that one. The other one is he goes around to these tournaments and just interviews the fighters. Like I say, good podcasts. But he described himself as the exclusive podcaster of those tournaments. Now, to me, exclusive means you are the only podcaster allowed to podcast anything at those tournaments.
Right.
How does he know there's not somebody in the audience podcasting about the tournaments?
Yeah, he probably doesn't. Yeah.
So what he really meant to say is he's most likely the only podcast that's podcasting about those tournaments.
Right.
That's it. I'm done. Oh, and he.
So why are you so obsessed with this? If you're so
irked? I don't know. I have no idea.
Wow.
The other thing that he did was in one of his recent episodes, he was talking about very traditional or classical martial arts. Poo-pooing the modern styles. and saying they're not a true martial art.
Ah, I see.
And which, I mean, he had a lot of good comments. One of the things he did, though, was he compared those people to Hitler.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he did it in a roundabout way. I'm paraphrasing, to say the least. But so this is the dichotomy that comes along, I think, with podcasting in general. Maybe I'm really making a comment about podcasting more than I am Karate Cast.
Okay.
In that I don't necessarily think it was a good idea to compare those people to Hitler.
Yeah, never a good idea, really, to compare anybody to Hitler unless they really are a jackass.
Right, unless, of course, they're talking about Hitler.
Right, you can compare Hitler to Hitler.
but I do love the fact that his podcast is essentially a voice for him to say whatever it is he wants to say.
Yes.
And
unlike the people in China.
Unlike the people in China. And I like the fact that, hey, you know what? I may not agree with his opinion, or I may have a problem with something that he says, but I would not for the world ever want him to stop speaking. You know?
Right, exactly.
So,
right. I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it.
Yep.
Somebody important said that.
Yeah. So, anyway, I just had to have a little Karate Cast rant. May have one next week.
I would like to know what his definition of a real martial art is.
Well, he is very open to the idea of the new styles. He, like I say, he was poo-pooing the traditionalists that were saying that like the new modern martial arts weren't true martial arts.
Oh, he was poo-pooing the people who were saying that.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, good for him.
I agree. I totally agree.
Good for him.
So, yeah, this is my dichotomy with Karate Cast.
Your dichotomy?
Yeah. The other thing is my fear of his coming to kick my ass if I say anything.
Ah, well, we'll all know who did it. And then he's in trouble.
That's true.
So.
Yeah, okay.
Besides that, if he's a real master, he wouldn't have to come near you. He could just deliver the death touch via telephone.
Via email.
Via email. The e-death touch.
Yeah, dude. Master Pinder, please don't send me an email death touch.
That'd be sweet.
That'd be... No. I'd be dead.
Wait. I got a dollar idea.
What's
you that? Get Ichi.
Ichi. Yes. Ichi.
Man.
That would be a true virus, wouldn't it?
Yes. Ichi.
Okay.
All right.
So my rant's over with.
Well, continuing with martial arts.
Continuing on the martial arts.
I actually
topic.
Want to cover real briefly the Friday fight night we had two weeks ago.
Yes.
Innovative Martial Arts, our martial arts school, is a member of
a larger organization.
A larger organization that's a couple of schools, I think three. I don't have all the facts here, so I'm going to totally blunder the facts. One of the other schools, in fact, the school that hosted was Crusader Martial Arts. And we had another school that was there, and I totally apologize, but I can't remember the name of the school. I believe that they studied a form of jiu-jitsu and some other stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, so the three of our schools got together. It was instructors only, so we could get a feel for how everybody wanted to spar and fight, because we didn't really want to do point sparring, and you can't do full contact. It's not what it's about.
Right.
And needless to say, it was incredible. Everybody was wonderful. They were all great guys, and the fighting was awesome. I think everybody at least saw some interesting things and got to do some interesting things. I think it was a good experience for everybody.
Good.
Everybody was very happy in the end.
Did you see a lot of new stuff? Were you surprised?
No.
Okay.
I will say I was probably...
Now, you have a lot of experience.
Yes.
So, but I know that a lot of people, when they go to a new school and experience that school's fighting technique, it opens up their eyes to a lot of things that maybe they hadn't been studying previously.
I didn't see anything new from a martial arts, technique perspective. Everything there I'd seen before.
Okay.
But the big difference, of course, is fighting people of different styles.
Yes.
Because you spar with the people in your own class, you get used to the way they spar and fight, because typically they spar and fight like you.
Right.
And most of these other people did not spar or fight anything like us.
Interesting.
Which is obviously neither good nor bad. It was,
good
from a learning perspective.
Right.
So in the end, raving success. The next Friday fight night, which is going to be the Friday after the every other month networking meeting we have will be a Friday night fight night. We're going to open that up to like one or two more ranks of belts, get some other people in there, fresh blood, so to speak, and do it again. Because it was an incredible experience. Some really great people.
So would you recommend to schools out there to go to a different school and propose this idea of
I think if you're going to do this, you need to make sure you only do it with people who are, you need to feel the school out, which is the whole point. We had the instructors do it first.
Right.
Because if we get there and one of the schools, for whatever reason, the instructors really kind of were on their high horse and thought they were real cool shit and
right.
started beating the crap out
ass.
Of us. You don't want to do that with people. That's not right. the point. The
right.
point wasn't to win. We didn't keep score. There was no winners. There was no losers. We were there to learn from each other.
Very nice.
And everybody really, you know, enveloped that whole concept and used it. And I think a lot of people got a lot from it.
Excellent.
I think eyes were opened. Yep. And I think, you know, all around. I know my eyes were open to some things.
Good deal.
So I would highly recommend it.
Good.
Go to different schools. Try to get your own. That's what Chuck did, our instructor Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, him and Don had been working with these other Sifus and instructors and,
mm-hmm.
and all that kind of stuff, senseis, whatever one you call it, around the area, trying to get a network of martial artists together, because you can only learn so much from each other. You need to spread out.
Yes. I'm
not saying you have to take all their techniques and make them part
right.
of your martial art, but you do it because you get the exposure to all these different things. Especially as an up-and-coming martial artist with not a lot of experience, you'll see things you won't see
absolutely.
Unless you extend those fingers out.
Yep.
I'm not saying you need to leave your school or anything like that.
Right.
Just look at what else is out there because it's good for you.
Yes. All right. Well,
so,
good. Good,
yes.
good, good. So I was having a tough time. I think we struggle sometimes about the martial arts topics because we want them to be general. We don't want them to be specific to our art necessarily, but
right.
the one I came up with for this week is instructor tips. And I put down a couple of, you know, just some things for you and I to toss back and forth.
Okay.
And the first one is, I think every instructor should remember that they are a student as well as the student that they are teaching.
Yes.
And I know for me, whenever I whenever I spend some time with a student, a couple of nights ago, I spent about 15 minutes with a couple of beginners teaching them very basic things. And they were kind enough to thank me at the end of that time, and I thanked them.
Yep.
And the reason I thanked them is I thanked them for allowing me the experience of teaching them.
Yes.
Because I learned things about how to teach.
Yep.
And how to do things differently and how different people learn in different ways.
Right.
So,
and you can't learn to teach unless you have students.
That's right.
And that's what you may be learning, if anything. So yeah, you can't be a teacher without being a student. It's impossible.
And I know that it's true essentially for everything. Is you learn something a lot more thoroughly when you teach it.
Oh, yeah. Because people ask those questions that you never thought about.
Right.
And you have to figure out how to explain it to them.
Right, right. And so oftentimes you have to slow a technique down enough, which maybe you have never done before.
And that's hard to do.
And that's very hard to do. Picking up a form in the middle of it.
Yes.
Is often difficult to do. So I think that's maybe my first tip is to just keep in mind that you're learning with them, and it's a lot like being their uki,
right?
In that as their uki, you are not necessarily their instructor; you are their training partner.
Yes, yeah. As your uki, your job is not just to just fall down. That's it. I mean, end
right.
of story. Your job is to help to teach them.
That's right.
And it also means that, you know, do fall down when you're supposed to fall down, and don't fight it and go, well, that wouldn't have worked if I was on the street.
Right.
Because,
right.
you know, it would have worked if I would have really poked your eyeballs out before
right.
I did it. It
right.
would have worked.
That's not the point either.
Right. So yeah. you're right, yes.
Yeah, it's a nice, you got to have a balance in there. So, and I don't really have a tip for this necessarily, but maybe more of a conversation. Handling arrogant students.
Yes.
The students that feel that they either know more than you, And actually, I have a little story behind this. I doubt he listens to the podcast, but the person I was thinking of when I wrote this was Scooter. And he, I my feeling is that he came into the dojo being a little cocky. And I'll tell you what, I have really grown to like him.
Yep.
I really, really like him.
I had the exact same thought just the other day when I was coming out of class.
Yeah, I think he's a fantastic training partner.
Yep.
He was my uki for a takedown technique, and he was showing me an armbar. And he was saying, and we were working with another beginner.
Yes.
And he said, well, if you slide your knee down here and you step over here, you can roll back and lock him up.
Yep.
And I said, that's a good technique. But you have to remember that you need to make sure you have options. Because what if this guy has friends? Now you're down on the ground with his arm all locked up. And if a friend of his comes by, he's going to stomp your head in.
Right.
So another way to finish this is to take him down and put your knee in his head. And you remain in an upright position looking out for other attackers.
Right.
And there was no argument involved. And I saw that the next time he did the technique, he did it with the knee. And we sort of went back and forth. And I think in part because I changed my attitude towards him.
Right. Oh, no, because that's, I think that's key.
Because it became an experience for me where I was doing the same thing. I was arrogant in thinking that he didn't have anything to teach me.
Right.
Which was wrong.
And I think that's common. I think there's two types of arrogant students. And the one thing I will say about Scooter is I also think he has become more open-minded. As I've gotten to know him a little bit better and through the things we've done, I can tell his mind has opened a little bit more too, which is really encouraging. But there are two types of arrogant students. There are types of arrogant students who open their head and figure, okay, this is something that's good and I'm going to learn from this.
Yes.
And then there are the arrogant students who are like, I'm just the hottest thing this side of and I will prove it to you every chance I get. Those are the ones who are trouble, because those are the ones that even if you change your attitude toward them, what they do is then they take that and say, aha, so you admit that I'm better than you are.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Instead of the other way around of saying, this is a good learning experience for everybody.
Well, and I think that sort of comes back to the first point, in that, like I said, my experience with Scooter was that I was arrogant in thinking that I didn't have anything to learn from him, and I changed my attitude, and as the instructor, I learned something from him about being an instructor. And so that was I am very appreciative of that quote unquote gift of him opening up my eyes to say, hey, you know what? Pay attention to your attitude because it makes a difference.
But here's the other thing, too, is it is human nature for when someone, anyone, has a chip on their shoulder.
Very true.
For you to also grow a chip in return to defend yourself against their chip.
Absolutely.
So now you've got two chips on the shoulder, and you're right, you've got two ways you can go. Either that chip gets bigger or you throw it away.
Somebody's
busted.
Wife interruption. Sorry about that, guys.
I told my wife, don't call me. I said, bitch, don't call me while I'm podcasting.
Eh, whatever.
And then she baked me a pie.
Make me a sandwich.
All right, where were we? I think that's a tip in and of itself. If you find yourself faced with a student who you feel has got a little bit of a chip on your shoulders, take a step back, take a breath.
Absolutely.
Examine yourself and see if you also have a chip on your shoulder.
That's right.
And try being the bigger man and dumping your chip first and see how they react to that.
And I'm guessing that those students with the chips on their shoulder will do one of two things. They will either eventually leave it behind or they will leave your school.
Yes.
And so they'll weed themselves out.
Yes, they will.
But
or there's also the option that, and this has happened, not that I've ever been, actually I partook in this. When I was at one of my old schools, we had a brand new student who came in and he was working with one of the lower, not really belts because we didn't have belts, but it was a girl that he was working with and he was pretty rough with her.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was, one of the more advanced students, so my instructor called me over and said, hey, work with this guy.
Right.
And he gave me the wink and the nudge, and I worked the guy over hard, and he never came back.
Yep.
And it was because he was, I mean, above and beyond like a slight chip on his shoulder. The kid was being an arrogant prick.
Right.
And thought he was all that, and he was going to prove it.
I've actually been on the other end of that experience in that I was in my Hapkido class, and I had a green or a blue belt, which that means I had been there for like a couple of years. And a white belt came in, and he had been a kickboxer.
Ah, yes.
And we started sparring, and this guy came at me full on. And so I didn't know what to do. I was really flustered, and I backed away because that's not...
Right.
We didn't really train like that. And my instructor, luckily, was a belt-holding middleweight kickboxer in the WBA.
See, you never know who you're going to run into.
Yeah. And so took this guy to town. Took him to town, and he never came back. But, you know, I do think that ultimately the whole chip on your shoulder thing, for some reason, a lot of it comes down to sparring for these guys.
Yes.
And care has to be taken because, again, even if you are an instructor, you never know who they are.
Right.
You know, well, they could be a UFC champion for all you know.
And Mushtaq talked about in his Wild and Crazy days that he used to go dojo busting.
Right.
Where you go into the dojo and you challenge the instructor. And you throw down, and sometimes you beat him, and you go, ah, you don't have anything to teach me. Sometimes you lose, in which case he said he would, you know, beg for forgiveness and ask them to teach him.
Right.
You know, and yeah, you're right. I mean, this goes back to the whole, like, black belts. What a black belt, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
It means nothing.
Right.
It means nothing.
And then you ask yourself, what does it mean that one person can kick another person's ass in a fight?
Nothing.
That doesn't really mean much either.
I mean,
it means something if what you want to do is learn how to kick people's ass.
Right.
But it means nothing. It means very little if you want to learn martial arts.
Right. You know what? And interestingly enough, most people who come to a martial arts school with a chip on their shoulder don't come in there with a chip on their shoulder because they're a forms champion.
That's true.
They come in there because they have a chip on their shoulder because they think they're tougher than this person
or
that person. It's never, well, I can swing nunchucks better than anyone in this school.
That's right.
And
I
will prove it.
That's right.
Throw down right now.
That's right. It's because they're a fighter and they want to fight.
It's because they're a fighter and they want to fight.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's...
I think we've beaten that topic to death.
But I think those were good instructor tips.
They were.
Yeah. So,
let's move on.
Let's move on to tech tips.
Well, wait. I got one more thing to say. I'm just hoping that was enough martial arts information so that guy who reviewed our website can now say this particular episode
had enough martial arts. We'll get to that later because I got a couple of comments about that. So tech tips. Get your bookmarks from anywhere.
Delicious.
Yes. I have heard a lot about it. I signed up for it today, actually, because they were talking about it on Twit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I get it, really.
I love it. Because while I'm bouncing from place to place, or sometimes I'll have a link that I really want to have, and like I'll go to Detroit, and I'm at my mother-in-law's house.
Why don't you just use the Google bookmarks?
Wait a minute. Why? What Google bookmarks? What are you talking about?
If you do Google, do you have a Google IG page?
No. Yeah. Yes.
A customized personal
page?
Well,
yeah, but those are things that I want to put a bunch of junk on. I mean, I have specific stuff I want to see on there. So I got my Google homepage set up with all my information. But if I have just random links about, like, JavaScript code...
Oh, so can you, like, categorize them and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like it's a bookmarks page. Where, and like putting a bookmark in your browser where you bookmark this page.
Interesting.
So you tag the page, throw some keywords on there.
Okay.
And then anywhere you go, all you do is log into your Delicious page, and
interesting.
You've got all your stuff.
So that makes sense, because like for a podcast, if you're doing a podcast about internet links and things like that, then it would make sense to have a Delicious page.
Right.
Because, for example, if we shared a Delicious account, then we could both edit that bookmarks page and just list our bookmarks instead of editing our wiki.
Right.
Although I like all the other options that come along with the wiki.
No, the wiki's better. Huh?
But that's interesting. That's an interesting technique.
So now I don't have to worry about it. It used to be like if I reinstall my computer, if I format my hard drive and reinstall, I've lost all my bookmarks.
Yep. Yep,
and I just don't have to deal with that.
Yep.
So I think that's a great alternative. So anyway, tech tips. For
check out Delicious.
Delicious. Yes. Delicious. My dog is giving me a hard time.
D-E-L dot O-E. Yeah, you're going to have to fucking look it up.
Go to the...
What is it?
Go
D-E-L
to the
dot I-C-I-O dot U-S.
Delicious.
And simple nudes. Pretty girls, nude, beautiful women. Simple, tasteful nudes. Quality... Click on that.
Nice.
One,
System of Bin Bin. And Sigue la Historia. Le Imagina Escriba.
Ooh.
Escriba. That's Spanish for something.
All right. The other tech tips is stereo surround?
Yeah, I saw this. I wanted to hear clips.
I should link to some clips.
Yeah.
Because they have some. And as long as you... What the technique is, and... I'm actually going to try this at some point, is you put the left and right microphones on your ears, right?
Really?
So essentially what it does is the person that is listening to the headphones is essentially hearing the exact sounds that you're hearing. So as things are going around your head or moving from right to left or whatever... they hear that exact sound that you heard. So it gives this sense of actually being in that place that that person was.
That's what you're saying.
So
you put the microphones in your ears and then you walk around a place and the microphones pick up what your ears would hear as independent
as
functioning
units.
As
if you were in that place.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
and how did it sound? How are the links? How did the clips sound?
Very cool, like surround sound.
That's
wild. Like it goes around your head. Now, if you listen to them, say, in your car, it's going to be exactly like a stereo track.
Sure.
There's not going to be any difference.
Sure, you got it right and left, and that's it.
But if you have the speakers right on your ears, like the recorder does the microphones, then you pick up exactly what the recorder did.
Wow, so that's perfect for actually wearing a headset then.
Yes. And what I'd really love to try is POV. So a video with POV, right? Just walking around and recording the right and left ears as surround sound. So like you're actually in the place walking through the thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That would be a good experiment.
Yeah. So maybe we'll try it one of these days, but I just thought it was a cool link on how to do it. And that it's so simple. I thought it would be like, you'd need preprocessors and processors and post-processors.
No, apparently you don't.
I think those are all the processors, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Pre-post.
Maybe we'll give it a shot one of these days. I've got one lav mic. It'd be worth the $20.
Clip lav mics onto our
ears.
That's
what I was thinking.
Walk around.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, anyway. Okay, that's it for tech tips.
We got a couple of...
shit. Yeah.
We got a couple of tech and science things.
We got more than a couple.
Yeah. It's been a while since we're a little behind here.
We are quite a bit behind, so these might be slightly old.
All right, an e-annoyance law. Basically, they're going to... Bush apparently signed into law a prohibition on posting annoying web messages or sending annoying email messages without disclosing your true identity.
Really?
So now it's a law. Some guy was actually fined several $100 million.
Wow.
In Florida.
Holy smokes. Well, that's good news.
Yeah, so I just wanted to point out the fact that someone, you know...
Finally, maybe the government's catching up a little bit.
A good law that's being put into place to stop people from being retards. I hate that.
Oh.
Not I don't hate retards. Retards are fine. I hate spammers.
Yeah, and I want to apologize for the glitching we had.
So it's real time.
Well, no, because then nothing else will work.
Oh.
The glitching we had in the last show, I don't know what's going on. We had the same setup as 19, but
I don't know.
So anyway, I just bumped up the priority on the Audacity process. Right. So
I also had another link here.
Fired for blogging.
This is basically hints and tips about things you should and should not say on your blog to prevent from getting fired. Now, even for our podcast here, I've never once mentioned the name of the company, I think, that I've worked for. Maybe I've mentioned the name.
I don't think I have either.
And I do that on purpose because, you know what? It's not worth it. They pay me a shitload of money. I got a nice house.
I
want to keep it.
And you know
what? I
want
to keep my job, and Michigan's got a horrible economy right now.
Well, this is the thing I think to be careful about is that there is a difference between a rant and a grudge.
Yes.
And I could go on a rant about my boss at work because of something that he did, but if I were really asked, like every once in a while at meetings or at my yearly report, my yearly whatever it's called.
Review.
He always says, is there any concerns that you have about me or the department or the company?
Right.
And my answer generally is no, because I may rant about a particular thing.
There's always occasions.
There's always stuff that comes up that's like, oh man, I wish he hadn't done that. But when push comes to shove, would I quit? You know, no, not at all. So, yeah.
Right.
I think Google has a general policy about blogging, about their employees blogging, because they encourage their employees to blog. But their rule is don't be stupid.
Right. Which is a good rule to follow. It's not worth it.
If you have to think whether or not it should go on your blog,
don't put it in there. Yeah. If you even stop for 1 second and go, ooh, should I be writing this?
Don't.
Stop right there, delete it, and don't post it. Now, yes, it sucks because you should be able to say whatever you want, but especially in Michigan, they can basically fire at a whim.
Right to work, is that it?
They have some.
Right to life? No, I don't know.
Right to life?
I don't know.
So that's a different issue.
Yeah.
But basically, they don't have to have a reason to fire you in Michigan.
No.
So, I mean, you can't even bring up a suit that says, well, they fired me because I said something about him in my blog.
Truth.
What about my freedom to speech? And da-da-da-da-da. No. You know what? It doesn't work that way, man.
Right.
You're going to get fucked.
Yep. Yep.
So, be careful. Be careful what you blog about, what you podcast about. Anything you post on the internet is free reign for anybody to see, read, hear, all that stuff.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of free.
Linux. I saw an interesting article. I'm going to gloss over this one again, too, because it was passing interest.
Yes.
They did a compare. Windows or Microsoft ran a study because people kept claiming that Linux could run on all these older PCs, things that Windows couldn't do.
Right.
They did a comparison. As it turns out, about the same. You can go back about as far in Linux and Windows and have luck running some version of Windows or some version of Linux on these legacy PCs.
Now, we just got hand-me-downs from my work, which was a couple of 233 laptops.
Yes.
And I know that we both had some struggles in getting a version of Linux on them. I ended up installing I ended up installing Windows 2000.
You did. And you said that works pretty well.
It works pretty well. I mean, Word comes up slow.
But
it runs, you know? I mean,
and I settled on a version of Ubuntu.
Oh, Linux. You did.
And
how's it doing?
That installed great. I couldn't get my Fedora 4 to load up on there. I couldn't get what's the other version of Linux, the CD-based distribution?
Mandrake?
No, not that one.
SUSE?
What's the one that we always use to boot up on CD?
Oh, Nopix.
Nopix.
Yeah.
I did a live install of Nopix. Mm-hmm. That didn't work so well, so I finally scrapped it all, did a single CD installer version of Ubuntu. Flawless installation.
Really?
Ubuntu's really nice.
Wow.
In fact, think
I've
about reformatting my Fedora 4 core on my other computer and putting Ubuntu on there.
Oh.
Anyway. It runs very slow. The app like I'm running, but part of it's I'm running OpenOffice, because that's what I use my...
Well, and part of it's the 233. I mean,
right.
What are you going to do?
Well, but OpenOffice is a little
it's
bit...
It's pretty heavy.
It's overhead heavy anyway.
Yeah. It'd be nice if you can get an older version of OpenOffice.
Yeah, I know.
But
I hate running older software. I like to be on the bleeding edge.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately,
like
with the 233, you're going to bleed a lot.
I know. My dogs are staring at me right now.
Okay, so the next article, Big Brother Likes Cookies.
Yes. Big Brother Likes Cookies.
You don't remember this one.
I don't.
Do so now we got to open another tab.
I know. Snore. Ah, yes.
Spy.
Spy agency removes illegal tracking files. The Associated Press... This is reported by the Associated Press, the National Security Agency. Once again, the NSA. Their internet site has been placing files on visitors' computers that can track their web surfing activity.
Which is actually deemed illegal for the U.S. government to do.
Yes.
Now, I will say that this, to me, is relatively innocent behavior. I think that tracking cookies are something... that is a part of being on the internet. Because every time I run my anti-spyware, I get a list of 4 or 5 different tracking cookies.
Right, but it doesn't make it legal. Shouldn't be legal. You should have to ask my permission to track where I go. Otherwise,
well,
what's to stop them from
well,
there? Why not? Let's put tracking on library books.
You can set it in your browser to say, do not accept cookies.
All right, that's true.
Or ask me. I don't do it because it's a pain in the ass.
It is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And pretty much all the shit you have to do nowadays on the web requires a cookie.
Right. Not only that, but the NSA knows everything we're doing anyway. So what's it really matter?
Well, yeah, I don't know about that.
The whole current.
Oh, I know, it's just crap. It's underhanded.
No, I agree.
Because a lot of the cookies you put in there aren't tracking. They don't track what sites you're visiting and shit like that.
Well, there's... Well, some
of them might, but...
It depends, because what happens is that a cookie is only accessible to a particular website.
Yes.
Or a particular URL.
Right.
So if, for example, a central advertising agency has, say, iframes as ads on 100 different websites, right, then you're still going to go back to that centralized advertising agency's website to pull that web out, to pull that ad out.
Right.
And they're going to be able to track where that came from and what you did.
Right.
So the NSA should only be able to track cookies if there were some sort of, if you had a URL access. Ah, shit, I don't know what I'm saying.
Wow, I mean, I lost myself,
and I'm
not insane.
People are turning off the podcast.
No, like,
what the fuck is he talking about?
What the hell is that guy talking about?
All right.
Anyway,
let's move on.
The NSA was doing, I just want to bring that up because I thought it was a little low, underhanded, dirty.
Right.
And cookies are good.
Right. Well, you know what? Many people would say that Microsoft and the NSA have a lot in common.
You're right.
So this one has been all over the news. It's been done to death. I feel obligated to say something about it just because I feel obligated to say something about it. The WMF vulnerability. For those that don't know, it's a Windows metafile.
Yep.
And it is a vector-based image file.
Yes.
And we won't get into vector and raster and all that stuff. But needless to say, because I was just about to spiral down again. Needless to say, it's essentially an image file that runs executable code.
Yeah.
So by simply browsing to a web page, you could get infected with a virus.
Yep.
And Microsoft finally has done something about it, but it took them weeks. So, if you've got an older system, if you've got a system at all, there's a really nice application over at grc.com, right? That's the security guy.
Yep.
He's got this application called Mousetrap. It's executable. You download it on your machine, you double click on it, and it just says, yes, you are vulnerable, or no, you're not. Right?
Okay.
So then he's got a bunch of articles on how to solve the problem and all that jazz. And Microsoft has, you can either do the Microsoft patch download, he's got a couple other patches available, or ultimately you can unregister the DLL that draws those files.
Alrighty.
So that's it.
Or go to linux.org.
Oh, you bastard. Alright. Dog break.
RFID proof wallet. Did you look at this?
No.
Yeah. It's basically, it's a way to make a wallet that's RFID proof.
Interesting. So you can steal shit, put it in your wallet, and walk through those little gate things?
That's not the point.
Nope. It's not?
No.
Oh, see.
The point is that there's a lot of places now that will read things, you know. The concern is you have a credit card. And you could walk by and somebody could scan your wallet.
The article has some examples.
Credit card.
Chase Blink credit card, MasterCard, PayPass credit card, United States passport.
There you go.
And Euro banknotes all have RFID tags in them.
So this is a combination of, I believe, tinfoil and duct tape.
Holy shit. So that means that you could walk past an RFID reader, and if, for example, you were living in Europe and had euros, they could know how much money you had in your wallet?
Yep.
Whoa.
How crazy is that?
That's quite scary.
It is scary. And
so the muggers can pick and choose.
Or what do you do? What happens if you got some guy who's really smart and he's got an RFID reader And he's just walking around scanning people.
That's scary.
I never even thought about it until I saw that little article on how to make an RFID-proof wallet.
Yeah, dude. Because you could have one guy scanning people, and he walkie-talks down the street to another guy who's the mugger, and he says, red shirt's got $500 in his wallet.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah, so anyway.
Boy, I think a lot like a criminal, don't I?
You do.
That's scary.
You're a criminal! You're a criminal! All right, this next one is yours, 43 folders.
43 folders.
I wasn't quite sure what this was.
It's actually more of a, probably more of a tech tip than it is a science and tech stuff. But 43 folders is a website. It's also a podcast that is all about how to help organize your life. For example, one of the tips on one of the latest podcasts was, if you write to-do lists, only put things on the list that you genuinely believe you can get done that day. Right?
So don't have a list that spans a week.
You can, but make sure you can get it done that week. In other words, occasionally what my wife will do is she'll put everything she wants to get done on the list, which is what I do too. I have done in the past anyway.
Right.
Is you put down what you want to get done that day. And then the rest just sort of carries over to the next day.
Right.
Instead, put down what you're... Make a commitment to say, I know I can do these things today, and I'm going to commit to getting them done because it's realistic.
Right.
It's all of a sudden not completely overwhelming.
Don't set unrealistic goals, yes. Because then you're just going to be like, fuck it, why am I even trying?
Yeah, yeah. So that was one of the tips. And the podcasts are like, they're 5-6 minutes a piece.
Interesting.
But it's, yeah, and he's got this idea, the 43 folders, I can't remember exactly what they were, but it was like, you have one folder for each month, and then underneath the months, you have one folder for each week, something like that.
And well, essentially, that'd be 52.
It'd be 52.
52 weeks in a year.
Yeah, well,
don't
plus,
count Christmas,
plus the original, plus the original 12.
Minus 23, carry the one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So anyway, I don't know exactly what the 43 folders thing is all about, but he's got some cool ideas out there.
I'm going to have to check that out, actually.
That actually goes into tech.
I could be more organized in my life.
Yeah, me too.
I won't be.
Well, and he also goes on to say that he is not an incredibly organized person. He has all these tips to help people get organized.
Ah, do as I say, not as I do.
Yes. I think he follows some of them, but... Okay, we have a follow-up on the facial recognition software.
I saw
article.
This just today. There is a company who now actually has software that uses facial recognition to categorize people.
I love it.
And I mean, it creates basically a thumbnail, you know, view of each person. It basically categorically goes through frames and videos, picks out individuals, labels them as an individual number 12, and it'll go through all the other footage, find where individual number 12 is, and pull them out.
Holy smokes.
They've now have the software that will replace people scanning video, and this software will do it for you.
See, now what will be nice about this kind of thing is if there is a crime that has happened in a particular area and you want to get a collection of the 30 or 40 different security tapes from maybe different stores that were filming the outside of their store to see if the dude ran past or the car drove past or something like that. I guess, it'd have to be a person, wouldn't it?
I'm assuming, yeah.
Anyway, they can just feed all that video in and say, find if this person has shows up in any of this video.
Yes. The company's name is 3VR.
One of the ones...
San Francisco-based startup.
One of the ones that I had heard about that is kind of cool is that to help organize your photos... Is that if, for example, I say I have a particular photo of my wife, and I say this is my wife, and it'll scan through all of my photos and then categorize everything and say these are all pictures that have your wife in it.
Yeah, that was the web-based. There was web-based software that we reviewed before, which is what this is the follow-up from, where we had a discussion about whether or not it could be used. At the time when we did the original article, we said it wasn't being used for security purposes because. There was like a one in 10 times that was an error.
Right.
Or it matched somebody who wasn't actually the same person.
And I think that it's a different situation when, say, you're scanning video for a particular person rather than you're doing this blanket search for just everybody that could possibly be a criminal.
Right.
You know? And then have the human factor go in and say, is it or is it not actually this person?
Right. It needs to be used properly and not abused, just let the computer run rampant.
Right.
What are you doing, Dave?
Yep. So it's an example of computers helping instead of computers doing it for you.
Yes.
Yeah. So now we're on to the last topic in the science and tech stuff.
I don't know why this is in science and tech. Oh, because it's about podcasts.
Yes. Yes. Martial arts podcasts and vidcasts. Now, this is a link. I found this link, by the way, through our weblogs, because three or four people had come from that site.
Ah,
yes.
Okay.
So this is a site that lists martial art podcasts and vidcasts. It's a cool site. He does a great job reviewing everything.
Yeah, he reviewed everybody's site.
And it has a nice full review. Three or four of them that I didn't know about,
yep,
and I check
here
fairly regularly. I think he gave us a relatively good review.
Yeah, I mean, nobody in there had a shining review.
And I was looking through that because I noticed that nobody really, he didn't say, wow.
Which was the one he did? Marshall Secrets was the one that probably got the best review because he says, what does he say here? Show is probably my favorite Marshall podcast.
Yep. So the criticism he had for us is, let's see, the description from Podcast Alley, our description, the one that we created from Podcast Alley, is an odd collection of D&D, tech news, video games, and martial arts. And his criticism was, the above description is accurate. Although, and essentially what he says is, It's a little eclectic.
Yes.
And you and I have talked about this before. And my struggle with saying, well, should we start to break some of this stuff up? Like, one of my thoughts was actually just edit the audio and break it up into two or three different podcasts. One about martial arts, one about just science in general, science and tech, and one about movie making maybe.
Right.
And then what about games and D&D and video games? But the thing is that I know that there are probably martial artists that have listened to the podcast, and as soon as we get into science and tech, and most likely as soon as we get into D&D stuff, they either turn it off or they go, that's not really what I'm looking for. Forget it.
Right.
So I can understand the frustration, but don't care enough to actually go through all the work of breaking everything down.
However, you also have to think about the fact of how many people that we've got comments from now who said, I had totally thrown away my D&D books, and I had vowed to never do it again, and I listened to you guys, and suddenly I started buying books again, and I'm playing video games again.
Yeah. And he was a martial artist as well. Was it Dragulia or...
No, or Darkseid.
Or Darkseid. So, anyway.
Plus, this is what we want to do. You know what I mean?
You know what? And it's funny because I started to think about it, because our podcast completely defeats the purpose of podcasting.
We're breaking the molds, baby.
Because essentially what's great about podcasting is that you can download a podcast about the hobby that you're very specifically interested in.
Yes.
Yet we talk about so much bullshit that
you
can't do that anymore.
It's great.
So,
but one of the things we do is we tell stupid jokes and do other funny things.
Yes.
And besides that, we now label the time periods.
Yeah, I didn't do that on the last one.
Well, I know, but
typically
we do this stuff in the same order too, though.
Yeah.
So people can generally know where the stuff is they're interested in if they want to cycle into it.
Yeah.
You know what? I guess if you don't want to listen,
don't. Yeah.
We're still going to be talking.
I just don't have enough motivation to.
No, it's too late. I don't want to do that either. I enjoy talking about all these things.
Yeah.
And other people obviously do too. We get 80 downloads a month.
That's
on the
true,
new stuff.
At least.
So we got 80 people who for the last at least
we
6
should
months
put a link up to
have
our,
been interested.
Our weblogs. I bet people would be interested in seeing that.
Seeing the statistics of
yeah
what we do?
Yeah.
I bet no one would care.
I bet you're right. now that I think about it.
We check them religiously.
What did we have? We had 160 some odd downloads.
We had
20?
Of 20, yeah. And
80
we had
some odd of 80, episode 2.
We usually get about 80 downloads of all the other episodes a month. Isn't I don't know how
weird?
That works.
Well, yeah, I don't know how that works either.
I don't know. Let's move on. Movie stuff. Something that we actually don't cover as much as we should either, because we're typically, I mean, we started our whole company and all this idea
right.
started out of making movies.
Right. Now, we could have some movie making stuff in here. We just didn't bother to do it because, I don't know about you, but I learned some stuff from episode 2.
I did too.
Maybe we'll talk about it and not put it down.
All right. I want to do a quick review of Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
Brokeback Mountain is a very controversial film about two gay cowboys.
Yeah.
It sounds like, well, you know, what are you going to do? You get to say, okay, how interesting could it be?
I've actually heard that there are a lot of movies about gay cowboys.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this one must be the only one that's good, and it was.
Well, most of those other ones go straight to DVD.
Right. I will admit
and are,
that...
and are in the back room with the closed doors.
Probably, yeah. Different kind of movie.
Oh, like a real movie.
Yes.
No offense.
Real movie. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with pornography.
All right. So anyhow, basic plot is these guys end up living on the side of a mountain for 3 months, 6 months together, herding sheep. Ha ha ha! All the sheep jokes come out. but what happens is the one kid's really messed up because his parents had died and he was raised by his brother and sister.
What's the saying? Ba means no.
Yeah, ba ba means yes. Or ba 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 means it's a wolf. All right, let's skip all the crap. Anyway,
okay.
Surprisingly enough, the plot was actually very good. It was a very incredible character movie.
Right.
Probably, in my opinion, some of the best acting
really?
I have ever seen in any movie. Ever.
Really? Was the gayness icky?
There were two scenes where I cringed.
Ah.
I really cringed.
You know what's funny? Jen has a close friend of hers that's gay. Oh, and same with Ellie. And I was telling him the other day, I was like, look, I make an attempt to be very open and friendly and not make any assumptions about anybody. But to this day, when I see two guys kiss on TV, I cringe. And I don't know what that's about, but it still happens.
It's about your own insecurities,
it's,
Dan.
Probably. Whatever it's about, I still do it.
Right. Anyway, to be perfectly honest, if you enjoy movies, you'll love this
and
film.
And I heard there's some titties in it.
You will love this film. There are.
It kind of balances
You know
out.
Whose titties they were?
Yeah, some Disney lady, right?
Yeah! And what's her name from The Princess Diaries?
Oh, really?
Yeah! Oh. Yeah, it surprised the hell out of me. I saw her and she's in the backseat of the car and she
and
rips
like,
her bra off and I'm
boobies.
Like, what the hell? That's the Disney girl! What's
nice,
she doing
dude.
Showing her boobies?
Nice.
She's got to break out. Literally, on multiple levels. She broke out.
Ah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Right there.
If you want to see some really good acting, some incredible cinematography, the script was really, really well done. And
nice.
I mean, Ang Lee was the director, and he did a phenomenal job.
Right.
Won Best Picture at the Golden Globes, all that stuff. I highly recommend it.
The D20 scale?
D20 scale, honestly, I'm going to give it a 19.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
It was that good.
Wow.
It was that
so
good.
So it was as good as Serenity?
Totally different level.
Okay, but
different level.
Different genre.
On the drama scale and the genre, I would give this a 19. It was so well done. And all in all, I didn't really... I enjoy that kind of movie every once in a while. Definitely, you got to open your mind. And there's a scene in a tent when the very first time the two guys have sex.
Yeah.
And they don't show anything. It's not graphic.
Right.
But there's so much
they
intense
show the emotions.
Emotion
yeah.
that it's shocking.
Right. It's probably what it was intended, actually.
Yes, and he did a good job.
Yeah.
Enough about that.
Awesome.
What the fuck is this?
I don't know. I gotta open up the link to find out.
Oh, this is about all the movies that are coming out.
Oh.
All the crap.
Yeah.
All the filthy, nasty dog shit I scrape off my shoe movies that are coming out of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid to take a chance, and all they want to do is remake.
That's why I put, what the fuck is this?
Hollywood, you guys are a bunch of cowards.
I'm going to
call bullshit right now.
This is essentially a list of pretty much the movies that are coming out this year, I think. Well, let's see. What do they go down to? May 26th.
Yeah.
And I see X-Men 3 I want to see, Da Vinci Code I want to see.
Scary Movie 4? Yeah. Are you fucking serious? Come on! Basic Instinct 2. Ice Age 2.
Yeah, this is just...
Wait. The remake of The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah. Right. Oh, and the Larry the Cable Guy movie. A classic, I'm sure. Still looking for a third that I actually want to see.
You don't want to see Big Mama's House 2?
Maybe Underworld Evolution on DVD.
You know, the first one was okay. I was a little disappointed.
Right. These movies, I don't even want to see them on DVD.
I know. I wouldn't mind seeing a new world, but you know what? I've seen the previews for it over the last year so often that I think, the movie's already done.
Dude, and it's not like they're not spending money on them.
Oh, I know.
They're spending shitloads of money on these movies, and they're crap.
I will have to say, though, X-Men 3 looks...
It does look good.
Fantastic.
Thank God there's one in the next 6 months that's coming out that actually looks decent.
You're right, though. That, Da Vinci Code, and the only other one I'm even remotely interested in, to be perfectly honest, is the movie with Jennifer Aniston and the big, tall, funny guy. The Break. It's called The Breakup or something.
Really? Do we need to see her boobies?
Vince Vaughn. No, but it looks pretty funny. It's sort of like a new, an updated version of War of the Roses.
I should have put this down, a review for Wedding Crashers. I saw that.
Oh, was that good? I heard it was funny.
It was. It had its funny moments. There were some dry periods in there. Yeah. I'd say a 15 on the D20 scale.
Sort of like the 40-year-old version.
I hadn't seen that one.
Some really funny parts. Overall, I'm like 13. Yeah. I'll say a 13 on the D20 scale.
Yeah. So there's some two quick reviews.
Okay. We talked about this.
We did. See, people are stealing our ideas. They owe us dollars.
The 80 people that are listening to our podcast must be really influential and important because they keep doing things
that we talk about. So this is an article about one of the first movies called Bubble, Steven Soderbergh's.
Yep.
The film and the DVD. The film will come out on Friday, and the DVD will come out the following Tuesday.
NPR talked about this, and there are people that are pissed.
Why?
Because they feel they're going to be, losing money because people are going to choose not to go to the theater. And there are film buffs who are angry because you should experience a film in a theater because that's what it's built for.
They can fucking go and experience the film in the theater.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are people apparently in an uproar about this, which is why I guess it's a big deal, because there are people who don't want this to happen. Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
I think it's going to reduce piracy, to be perfectly honest.
It will, because we've talked about piracy before. Music piracy is way, way down, by the way. And
it's because they're suing little old ladies and their kids.
I disagree. I don't think it has anything to do with suing.
No.
I think it has to do, more than anything else, having a viable legal means and convenient means in which to get your music.
That's a good point.
Because, for example, I bought an episode of Lost today. I have it on my iPod right now. I'm going to hook it up to my TV tonight, and we're going to watch last Wednesday's episode of Lost.
Sweet.
Cost me $2. Now, normally, I may have downloaded that from BitTorrent in some sort of XVID format, XVID format to an MPEG-2, so I could then put that MPEG-2 onto a DVD, so I could then stick that into my DVD player, and the AVI would probably take a couple of days to download.
Yep.
What a royal pain in the ass.
$2? I'll pay $2 for that.
I'll pay $2. But before, I didn't have an option.
Right.
And so now I've got an option, and I think that's why people are... That's why piracy is down.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Well, in fact, the other day I had to go get some music because I'm doing a little four-number piece at my folks' church. My first official gig.
That's right. That's right.
And I went right and looked at it. In fact, iTunes didn't have what I wanted.
Uh-huh.
But I looked... I loaded probably six different places that sold music.
Yes.
Looking for the karaoke tracks. I think Yahoo Music, actually, their music engine was the one where I found the stuff I needed.
Interesting.
I don't know why iTunes didn't carry it. But it was still more convenient than trying to find a good copy here, there, and download it, and worry about this, and worry about that.
BitTorrant, eDonkey, the blah, 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 with the stuff.
And it was 87 cents.
Yeah.
87 cents.
Whoop-de-fucking-do.
I will pay that in a heartbeat. Right. 87 cents.
Right.
So,
anyway. And I guess, you know, I think of this as it's probably gonna be done more and more.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
And you know, maybe not next Tuesday, but at least within a month, or maybe two, because right now, like, my wife is dying to see Chronicles of Narnia, but she will not go to the theater for it.
Yep. And it's not gonna be out.
And for a while. Tell you the truth, the thing is by this time, right? The Chronicles of Narnia is in those teeny tiny theaters anyway.
Yep.
That have like 100 seats at a really steep angle, and you're slammed against the screen, and you don't get good sound anyway, so fuck it.
And you gotta sit next to the fat guy who's taking up two seats all by himself.
And going... Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I like it. I like the trend.
I do too.
Good stuff.
I think they're going in a good direction.
Okay. So let's...
I have a movie making tip.
Oh yeah, let's do a little movie making.
My movie making tip is this. The scene that you're filming with your digital video camera is always, always twice as dark as you think it looks through the camera.
I have a more general suggestion. Do some video testing through your camera and get a feel for the difference between what you're seeing on your LCD and what the video will look like, because it will not be the same.
No, not even remotely. I mean, some of the stuff that we had set up episode 2 looked awesome when I looked through the viewfinder of my camera.
Yep.
When we dumped it onto the screen...
So dark.
Horribly dark.
Horribly dark.
And
I had to brighten it digitally. I had to brighten it
You really need to do an extreme amount of lighting or an extreme amount of contrast with the lighting if you want the contrast. You notice our noir scenes, we wanted this really contrasty between light and dark. We had no contrast. None.
Well, and the other lesson with that is noir is difficult.
Noir is difficult.
Holy shit. It's tough to make something look dark without being dark.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, to be perfectly honest, if we were to take it to extremes, like literally, if we were to take a light and put it right next to your face... and just shoot it out of film.
That probably would have been
right. It probably would have worked perfectly.
Yeah.
But it feels so extreme that you feel like you're going overboard.
Yep.
So my hint would be go overboard.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll work out much better than you think it will.
Right. But more than anything else, learn your camera.
Yes.
Learn your camera.
Yep.
So I think that's a good movie making tip, actually.
I think so too.
Okay. RPG stuff. We shift gears.
Yes. I threw this on here because a lot of times I make a reference to steampunk.
Okay.
And you always go, what the hell is steampunk? Do you mean...
I remember what... It's funny because I heard that definition a while back, but I could... The thing was, is I could never think of the word.
Right. So steampunk is like basically, I want to say in the general terms, it's like some sort of technology that feels out of place because it feels like it's a little ahead of the era it's in.
Right.
Like everything's steam-driven locomotives back in the whenever, the 1930s.
Right. But they have these super massive computers and robots walking around.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're all steam-powered. So,
right.
Right, it's this out of place thing. So, which is why when I talk about Eberron, which is the setting for DDO, it's a steampunk kind of feel because they use this magic to give you magically powered ships and lightning rails and all these things that seem
out of place,
too technologically advanced for this fantasy medieval world.
Very interesting.
So it's a steampunk ish type environment.
Yes. Well, if anyone wants a good example of steampunk, I would recommend either Castle in the Sky or Metropolis. Both steampunk anime.
Oh.
Good stuff.
Oh, okay.
Good stuff. I really liked... I liked Metropolis a little bit more.
We should do some anime reviews.
I should have...
Later.
Shit, I should have reviewed Castle
episode.
In the Sky.
We'll do it next episode.
Okay.
Because I have one I wanted to do a review on, too.
Okay. Now, DDO review.
Speaking of DDO, the NDA is officially lifted, so now I can talk about DDO.
Ah.
And I'll have to say...
Isn't this in the video game stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
It is. They have broken many of the molds that traditional MMOs use right now.
Yes.
And that is a double-edged sword because most of the complaints I hear from people are people who were expecting this game to be just like World of Warcraft.
Right.
Just like EverQuest. Just like DAOC. all those games where you, you know, there's no tactics. You run up to the mob, you hit your auto attack button, and you stand there and you wait. And every once in a while, you get to press a button for a special maneuver. That is what people think of when they think of a massive online role playing game. Same way with Mushes and Muds, they run the same way. It's just you can't. Moving has no effect. The environment has no effect. Well, now albeit it's not fully functioning the way it should, they have things like you can climb on crates. You can hide behind objects. The environment matters. You can blow up barrels. You can knock that stuff aside. You can get things from there. It's such a drastic change from what an MMO is to people that people are having a hard time swallowing.
Now from a technical standpoint, it's impressive that if I knock a crate over in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the guy who's in my party in Australia will see the crate fall.
Yes.
That's tough. That, I would imagine, is very difficult to do.
So, and this is, to be perfectly honest, the first game that I've seen, massive online role-playing game, where you can interact with your environment this much.
And that's probably the reason why.
Right, breaking barrels and stuff like that. Now, granted, all this stuff is all in the same place. I mean, the dungeons are handcrafted. And people keep saying, well, we want random content. How come you don't randomize the dungeons like you can do in the pen and paper version of D&D? Find me any other massive online role-playing game where the content is randomized, where the dungeons are random.
Find me a random dungeon that's fun.
Right. There isn't one.
Right.
There isn't one. And, so that's not a big deal.
They want a random dungeon so that they can level. What do they call that? Grinding?
Grinding. Well, that's the thing.
But
you can't
grind in this, right?
The grinding is an entirely different level.
Right.
In all the other MMORPGs, you can find spawn points, and you sit there and you camp it all day long. Kill, 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 kill. Well, on this one, there aren't spawn points. It's just like in pen and paper D&D. You go through a dungeon, you clear the dungeon out, adventure over. But then you can go and repeat it. Your grinding is you're grinding through an entire dungeon and regrinding and regrinding.
I wonder if this will deter the Asian character market.
No, it won't.
No?
Nope.
They'll just...
The difference is... You can't solo your way as a character in this game.
Interesting.
After you do the first couple adventures, it's almost impossible to solo. And it's such a hard thing, even when you can solo, that it's not worth it.
Wow.
And that right there will stop the people from doing that because they like to sit there by themselves and power through their thing and solo, 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 solo. You can't do that in this game. It's impossible.
Wow.
Impossible. And frankly, I hated that at first. Now I love it. Because when I get online... Because
I'm a solo kind of guy.
Yeah, but here's the deal. When I get online with a massive online role-playing game and I get in a good group, it is so much more fun than when I solo that I'm like... And I always say this. I'm always like, that is why I play these games, for experiences like that.
Right.
Yes, it's forced grouping, but I have had more fun because I've had the group
time. And I think that the reason oftentimes that I don't get into these MMOs is because... I can't do the time commitment. So for me, like when I play Halo 2, I can jump on Halo 2 and in increments of about 15 to 20 minutes, I can play an entire round.
Right.
So if my wife comes home from work, I can finish whatever game I'm on in about 10 minutes, tell the people I'm playing with, I gotta go, guys. I'll see you next time.
Yep.
No big deal. They get somebody else to team with them, or they get a random person to team with them. If you're going through a dungeon with five or six other people, and if you're the cleric...
You can't just bomb out.
You can't just bail.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Well, and honestly, that's the one thing about this game is, you need to set time aside and do it. Like, for me, I've actually had more free time to do my real-life stuff because I know I can't just hop on there for a few minutes and play. Doesn't work that way. So I don't even bother. And in fact, for me, that actually works better.
Right.
Because now I do things I would have normally been in World of Warcraft just soloing for a while, doing something completely pointless.
Right.
So that's a good
thing.
Fishing. Right. They've done a really good job of trying to implement the pen and paper rules to classes and all that kind of stuff and the rules in general. I think they've done a really good job. They keep trying to do that. One of the advantages of having a preset rule set that they can go on.
Yeah,
they don't have to worry about balancing characters. The characters are already balanced.
Absolutely.
It's built into the D&D system. What's one of the biggest complaints you hear from all the other world or all the other massive online role-playing games? Than another. This character's stronger than the other. This character's stronger than that. How come you nerfed me? What nerfs and what things are you going to change in all the character classes in the upcoming? Right. You know, class balance is such a huge deal.
A nerf is?
A nerf is when you have something your character is very good at or does well, and then they change it so he can't do it quite so well.
Ah.
And basically, yes. People cry. When you
horribly
hear people
frustrating.
Cry nerf.
Right.
And they're like, oh, you nerfed me.
I could argue that they nerfed the wizard in the 3.5 rules.
They did. So. They did, yeah. They nerfed when they changed the rules. So that's what a nerf is.
Okay.
All in all, I'm going to give this right now because of the current state of some of the bugs and some of the things I'm a little disappointed in.
On its own D20 scale.
I'm going to give it a 16.
Oh. Now, what would you give World of Warcraft?
I would give World of Warcraft... Now, I'm talking overall here because I'm counting the fact that right now... DDO has got a lot of bugs they need to work out.
Okay, let me ask you this. What could it be?
What could it be? I think it could easily be a 20.
Wow.
For me personally.
And that's basing it on gameplay and system.
Yes.
Not necessarily the software itself.
Right. Now, and the reason I say that is I love the D20 system.
I do too.
If you don't like the D20 system, don't buy this game. Don't play this game. You will hate it.
Now, what if you don't know the D20 system?
Then I say do it. Say buy it. The combat's so much more action-oriented.
Yep.
You're jumping around. You can tumble. You can move. And how you move, this is the first time ever. In all the other MMORPGs...
It doesn't matter where you run.
It doesn't matter where you run, where you hide, how
you
move around them. The creatures can still hit you.
Wow, dude.
In this game, if you move at the right time, they execute attack combos, and they will miss you based on how you move.
So I'm guessing this is not going to work across dial-up.
It does. Works on 56K modems.
What?
Yeah. Oh, they have to support that. Still too many people don't have...
Wow.
But basically, it's a very... very well done middle ground between a Twitch game and a stand MMO. And press the auto attack game.
Very cool.
I think they did a really good job, and I think the future of this game is huge. Right now, and I think even for release, people are going to be saying the things they said about all the other games.
Buggy.
Oh, we're paying for beta. Beta.
And you know what? They say that about new consoles when they come out, too.
They say about everything.
Yep.
So all that crap
aside... If you've ever developed software...
Yeah.
You know that you can only get a certain percentage of the
What I love out. Is the people who you go, have you ever developed software? And they go, yeah, no, like they're so much better. And I'm like, fuck you. You've never developed software with an attitude like that.
Yep.
If you had, you'd know exactly what I was saying.
That's right.
I've been developing software for 11 years.
Yep.
And I know exactly what these guys are going
yep.
through. I go through it every day in yep. my life. And I have clients
and I can't
that
imagine.
Complain about our software the same way these little whiners on the boards complain about
I can't
their software.
Imagine how complex that software is.
Yeah, super complex. Anyway, I love the game. I recommend it, especially if you like Dungeons & Dragons. And if you disagree with me, piss off.
Shall we move on?
Yes. Wow.
I'm exhausted. I don't know about you guys.
I know. I can't.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
You were excited. Holy smokes.
I know. See, that's how you can tell I like a game.
Right.
I'm excited.
Okay.
All right. Real quick. Championship Poker 2 for the PSP. If you enjoy poker of all varieties, not just Texas Hold'em, I recommend this game. It's actually very interesting.
How much is it? Do you know?
It was $29.
Okay. So it's a cheap game, too.
Yes.
It's not like you're buying X-Men Legends or something like
Correct.
That.
Correct.
Very nice.
$29.
So $30.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was 39. It wasn't the full price. It wasn't the 45
okay.
or 50 bucks.
Okay.
You basically...
Probably in 6 months you can get it for 29.
Right.
Yeah.
You play all sorts of poker. There's a career mode where you can travel across the world to different tournaments.
And there's an online mode, right?
There's an online mode. Didn't look very populated. You can do quick play. You can build your own character. You can customize your character's appearance. You can get skills for him as you play against people and spend skill points. Very, very cool. So it's kind of got a role-playing aspect to it.
Very nice.
So I like it for that. I don't like it for the fact that I really pretty much only like to play Texas Hold'em, to be perfectly honest.
Ah.
So all in all,
yes.
it's got slow load times, but the games themselves last long enough that you kind of forget that the load times
right.
are a little slow.
A more reasonable price on it.
More reasonable price. I'm gonna give it 16.
Good deal.
16 on the D20
scale. That's a good score.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I noticed an article online. The DS may get a new design. Did you see this?
I I totally ignored it because I'm so sick of Nintendo pushing out new hardware every fucking month.
Well,
it drives me crazy.
Check this out. That's supposedly Joystick had a an article on possibly a new design. Oh shit! Now it's gone. New design for the DS.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, it looks slick. It looks super slick. I think that it would market better if it had a more ergonomic and more mature design, in my opinion.
Well, typically, I think most people associate Nintendo with kids' stuff.
And I think that's not true. And I think that kids will not shy away from a handheld that looks too adult.
Right.
But adults will shy away from a handheld that looks too childlike.
You have a very good point.
So, but then, a couple of days later, an article came out where Nintendo completely denied that.
Right. Although the article does say, it doesn't say they're not going to come out with a new design. It says they're not going to reveal it yet.
And I think, and this is pretty typical of Nintendo, personally I don't think there's anything wrong with it, right? Is that the Game Boy Advance games has three or four systems. The Game Boy Advance, the Game Boy SP, and the Game Boy Micro now.
What about the Game Boy Color or something?
The Game Boy Color played Game Boy Color games. So I'm talking about Game Boy Advance games.
Oh, okay.
The idea there, actually, what's nice about that, is that even though they're coming out with new consoles, the developers are still developing games for all three platforms.
Right.
So if you bought a Game Boy Advance and you don't want to upgrade, when the Game Boy Micro comes out and all the new games come out for the Game Boy Micro, you can still play them on your Game Boy Advance.
Right. That is one thing I noticed. All the cartridges are interchangeable between the different systems.
And even the DS has a Game Boy Advance slot on it.
Right. So they learned their lesson about backwards compatibility.
Yeah. Actually, the Game Boy series is one of the most backward compatible. The Game Boy Advance played all the way back to the very original Game Boy.
Wow. Nice. Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know.
All right.
I think they should redesign it. Dungeons and Dragons, free play weekend.
Yeah, they had a free play weekend. This is way past due now. They had a free play weekend 2 weeks ago.
For what?
You could play D&D online.
Oh, for DDO.
They had a free play weekend.
Where you could download it and play it for free.
Yeah, from FilePlan and a bunch of other places.
I think I saw
now
that.
What they're doing is if you pre-order DDO, you get a 10-day beta subscription.
Oh, really?
So you can play the game for 10 days.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Although I'm a little pissed off because they also now released a limited edition version that gives you boots of speed and something else from all your characters as you make them if you buy this special edition.
Holy shit.
Well, the problem is me and about a million other people
already
pre-ordered from the other one, which was if you pre-order, you get a +1 amulet of protection on all your characters. So we're like, woohoo, let's do that.
But and you'd rather have the boots of speed.
Yeah, I'd rather have the boots of speed. I mean, +1 armor, big whoopty.
Wow, I don't know about you, but my energy level just went.
I'm all excited because I'm about to go play. I'm about to go play some DDO. All right.
Well, I have one book stuff.
Oh, you do.
I'm thinking about a book to write.
You are?
Yes.
What are you going to write it about?
Well, this is my idea anyway. I want to throw out my idea to the world because
someone will make it before you.
You know, I think, and people need to understand, and I was trying to make this point before, is that this podcast is really just verbal diarrhea for you and me.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
So, as you can tell by my DDO tirade.
Yes. And somebody has probably done this before, but I thought it would be fun to do because you can sell books about the same topic.
Yep.
My thought is that what would be interesting is if you could write about a 100-page book, maybe 150, somewhere in there, and take essentially the cutting-edge scientific topics of the day. Artificial intelligence, cosmology, computer processing.
Cloning.
Cloning, biology, material science, energy science. Essentially do a bunch of research and write a chapter on essentially what are the unanswered questions? What are the questions that are about to be answered? What are the topics that people are studying? And what inspired me to think of this is that I was listening to an interview about a guy who wrote a book on the Big Bang, or or something like that, string theory or Big Bang or whatever it was. He had no experience in physics before. He just decided that he was going to write a book about it.
Wow.
He did a bunch of research, and he said, actually, it was quite beneficial because I felt that I can explain it in layman's terms so that people can understand it because I am a layman myself.
Right.
So.
Sounds like a lot of work. Research.
Man, I'd fucking love to take a year off and do that.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Sell a book, make millions. Or nothing at all.
Right.
Most likely nothing
at all.
It's
that whole taking the year off and somehow
still
getting paid. Well,
dude, if everybody that listened to our podcast bought a copy, I'd be poor.
Right.
I'd have $3.
Right.
So, anyway, that was
Stuff. This was, I think this
How long was this?
Hour and 20
oh
minutes.
Oh, my God.
Man, we are spewing. Well, we're making up for the fact that we missed a podcast.
We did. Okay.
All right, I'm,
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do outros, right?
Outros.
I'm Sterling. I'm a writer and a graphic designer and a computer programmer here in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I'm Dan. I'm a professor at the local community college. I'm a software developer. I'm getting ready to take my black belt test in March. Terrified, dude. Terrified. That's it, man. I'm really not very interested in
all right, take care, everybody.